So let's go ahead and let's start with today's message. this morning, we're going to continue in our part six of our series that we've been talking about, how to turn a setback into a comeback. And I think the important thing is everybody can kind of relate to this. This kind of ties into just about everybody's life. All of us have to deal with all kinds of setbacks in our life. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're listening online, maybe you've got some financial stuff that's going on in your life. We all have to deal with stuff like that. Maybe you're struggling with some health issues that have been coming up. We all struggle with different things like that in our life. Maybe it's relationship setbacks or marriage setbacks. Maybe it's a job setback. Maybe it's a career setback. Maybe it's personal setbacks. Maybe it's spiritual setbacks. But there's just many, 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 many kinds of setbacks. And the way that we can apply these things to our lives that we can help us get through it and move from a setback into a comeback, which is what God wants for us. He wants us to have the abundant life. He wants to have joy and peace in our life. So today what I want to do is I want to ask you the question, so what do you do? You're in the midst of all this setback. You're in the midst of what we were just talking about. You're pressing on. You're fighting the good fight. And nothing just seems to have changed in it. Your prayers haven't been answered, at least the way that you're praying them. So what do you do when you feel like the well has gone dry? There's just nowhere else to dig. There's nowhere else deep to go. It's like you're emotionally just spent. Yeah, it's kind of you're just, you feel empty. You've been pumping, and then there's just nothing coming out. And in your mind, you're just saying, there's no more. Yeah, I remember when I grew up in the outskirts of Dodge City. We had a well just like that's showing up there on the screen. It was in our yard. In fact, if you'd go up and down most of the street, most of the neighbors had a well like that in our yard. And on them hot summer days, we'd go out. It's going to be just like it is today, but we'd be riding our bikes up and down the street and we'd be getting thirsty and everything. And we would spot one of them wells, either in our yard or one of the neighbor's yard. And you'd go over there and you could get a cold drink. And usually that water was pretty cold and it was wonderful. And sometimes what it would do, it would take, one or two of you to get some water out of them because you'd have to pump and you'd have to pump and you'd have to pump and you'd have to pump. And sometimes you'd have to prime the well before you could get anything out of it. So you'd have one of the guys would be pumping and the other guys would be holding their hands ready for the water. And then when they would switch places real quick. And so sometimes life can feel that way. When we have setbacks in our lives, it can feel the same way. They can just kind of drain you. There's a thirst inside of you. There's a spiritual thirst. Emotionally, your tank just feels empty. Like there's no reserves. There's nowhere left to go. There's nowhere else to draw from and deal with your daily life that goes on day after day. And many folks here listening, many folks here today, you know what I'm talking about. Either you have been or you are or you're going to be going through one of these setbacks in your life. And you just feel empty. There's just hollowness in there. Your pump runs dry. You can't. There's just nothing left to give. And you kind of feel like that in your heart. There's nothing left to give. You drag yourself through the days, day by day. You get up every morning, you do your thing. You walk through the day, you go to sleep, and you do it again the next day. It's kind of like a man walking through the desert, and you're just thirsty, and you just need a drink, and you just feel like there's just nowhere else to go, and you're just searching for water. So if you remember this, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Elijah. And we talked about him a little bit. And God did some amazing things through this guy's life. In his life and through his life. Elijah, if you don't know, if you remember this, he was a prophet. What that means, he was a spokesperson for God. He was a great man of God. And God had chose him to go out and send the message out. But the thing we learned about Elijah also in this was Elijah was, he ran. He hid. He worried a lot of time. He complained. He felt hopeless in his life. And so Elijah was susceptible to the same troubles, the same struggles, the same temptations, the same moods that you and I face every single day. The Bible tells us in there in James 5:17, and you don't need to turn there, but it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What it's telling us is Elijah was just like us. The Old Testament Elijah, the New Testament and James are reminding them. Today as we read it, it's the same way. They're reminding that we're all the same. We all think the same thing. We all go through setbacks. We all have worries. We all have fears. We all have weaknesses. And Elijah was no different. He was just like you and I. So what I want to do this morning is I want to start out and I want to look at a couple things as we go through things and we go through life's issue, and especially at this difficult time now, is the one thing that we need to know is God gives us signs or warnings when we're drawn empty, when we're drawn at the bottom of the well, when we're starting to dry out. He gives us warning signs. And number two, it's important that we respond correctly to these signs that we see in our lives. So the first thing that we need to do in our life when we do this, when we're running through these difficult times, we need to recognize that our well is running dry. We need to see that. We need to see what's going on. You've been pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping like crazy. You're tired. You're weak. You're not seeing any water. You're not seeing any results coming out. You're running on empty. You're just not sure. I just don't think I can go any further. So we need to recognize that this is what's going on in our life. And then second thing, we need to respond in the correct way. We need to recognize this is what's going on. I've just been pushing it too hard. I've been trying too long. I've been pumping too hard. We need to recognize that, and then we need to respond correctly. So today what I hope we can do is I hope as we go through this that we can learn to apply this information to our life today. That if we're going through one of these situations or if we're in the future if we're going through a situation that we can apply them today. And we use the Bible when we do this. We use this so it can be, the Bible tells us in Romans that the Word of God, this book that we have in front of us, this app that you have open, the Word of God that we're looking at, it's not there merely to inform us, but it's also there to transform us. We get this information from the Bible, we hear this, and then we apply this information, and that transforms us. Therefore, empowering us in our life, empowering us to navigate this journey through eternity on this earth. And then in that, he renews our joy in our life. He renews the peace in our life. He renews this understanding in our life. When we're dry and we're thirsty and we just can't go any farther, and then we recognize what's going on in our life, and he's the one that will renew it in our life. We need the correct response in there gives us hope. Not just to press down and push and be harder and harder and try and run faster and faster. The correct response, what that does, when we take it from God, it gives us new hope in our life. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Elijah's response in his setback. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at that just a little bit more. The story, really, it starts out in chapter 18. I'll kind of give us an idea of what's going on. But if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Israel at this time, it's being led by a wicked king, and his name was Ahab. And his just as wicked wife, and her name was Jezebel. And if this sounds kind of familiar, this Old Testament times, New Testament today, see if you can just kind of, if you recognize any of this. But here's what was going on in the nation back then. The nation had fallen into this moral decay. They was just having all kinds of issues going on. They'd turned from God. They were accepting at that time, in fact, even protecting false idols. They were worshiping false gods. The country was divided at that time. The idolaters, they were worshiping false idols, and they were kind of against the believers. And the believers, they didn't like what they were doing, so the believers were against them. It was kind of like liberals and conservatives are today and everything. They're sacrificing to multiple gods. And there was one prophet in the nation, one prophet out there for it to share the word of God, and that was Elijah. And so he speaks for the word, speaks for God, and he says, how long will you waver between these two opinions? How long are you going to be like this? This is what he's asking. This is what God, he's saying, you know, he's saying, how long are you guys going to be doing this? And then he was sent out after doing that. If that didn't cause enough problem, then he was sent out to challenge those that were worshiping Baal. So he sent out into the world to challenge him, and he says, show me your God. Said, if you like this God, if you love this God so much, if this God is so powerful and everything, he said, show him to me. If your God shows up, he said, let's have a little contest. Your God shows up and proves faithful, well, then you guys can follow him. But if my God shows up, the God of the Israelites, then everybody will follow him. So he said, let's just do this. And so you know the story. They got this sacrificial bull and everything, and they built this big pile of wood, and they put the bull on there. And his challenge was, you know, whichever God calls down fire and starts this fire and sacrifices a bull, that's the one that wins. So they went into this process, and they do this. And when they'd called, you know, they went first, and they were calling on, they got all the prophets of Baal, and they all come around and everything, and they were chanting, and they were doing all of this stuff. And Elijah, he was enjoying it, and he was kind of giving them a hard time and everything. And we do that sometimes when we feel like we've got the upper hand. And he's like, well, maybe your God is sleeping. You know, maybe this isn't a good time for him. And he even goes as far, and this is in the Bible, and he even goes as far and says, well, maybe he's in the restroom. Maybe he's doing his business. So these guys, they're really getting upset and they're struggling with this. But they go and all the chanting and everything that they do and everything, there's a no-show. He doesn't show up. But then Elijah, he comes and he calls on the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And all of a sudden, there's just like this multimedia extravaganza with lights and thunder in the sky and fire coming down. And he just burns up everything and he consumes the sacrifice. He consumes all the wood. He consumes all the rocks. He consumes everything that's in there. And so along with this, the people, they're all looking at it. And so they kind of begin to realize, because they had invited the whole countryside to see, so they begin to realize that these prophets of Baal, they'd led them astray. It's like they were for him. They thought that everything was going to be fine because they said everything was going to be great. We'll all have fun. We'll all be together. We'll all enjoy. Everybody will be happy. There'll be free college for everybody. They said it's just going to be a wonderful thing. And then they found out they'd been led astray. And so in their anger, they're mad about it. They slayed all the prophets. They slayed all the false prophets. And so that's where we pick up the story here today. It's in chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow. So then he was afraid, verse 3, and it said that he ran, and this is Elijah, he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So his sidekick that was been with him forever, he goes there and he tells him, you know, you'll be safe here, you stay here. And verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die. He's talking to God. He's like, Lord, what am I going to do? And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough. He says, now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. So he's down there, his well is dry. He's been pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping. His well is dry. He just doesn't know what to do. And he says, Lord, I've just... take my life. Everything. I don't have anywhere else to go. There's anything. I've got nothing else that I can draw on. He's lost all hope. And he says in verse 5, said, and he laid down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And then if you'll drop down to verse 10, because we're going to include this in verse 10. So he's been talking to God and everything. And in verse 10, you know, God asked him, you know, he's like, what's going on and everything. And he said in verse 10, it says, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So right now, what he has in his life and what he sees in his life, there's a death threat, and basically it's a death sentence. The king and queen of the whole countryside, they want to put him to death, and so it's not going to be very hard to find him. So the story that we look at in here, it illustrates five signs of emotional burnout, of your well's done dry, I just can't dig anymore, there's nothing left in me. There's five signs that's happening in his life. Because Elijah, he's been running on empty. You know, this just didn't happen this one day. This wasn't this one issue. God had sent him out to warn the king. He says, go tell the king there's going to be this famine. And of course, the king didn't want to hear that. You know, a lot of prophets were killed because of the message that they had. So he didn't want to hear that. Then God sent him out and he says, you know, I'll tell you what, they're not going to listen to that. Why don't we just go out and we'll challenge their God? We're going to bring him up in front of the whole countryside and we're just going to embarrass him. So he does that. And he's probably thinking in all of this and all of his faithfulness and all of this time that he's been doing what God has told him to do. And now he finds himself with a death sentence. People that want to kill him. And Elijah's been, I can imagine, he's set back. He's knocked on his heels. His well's dry. He don't have anywhere else to reach. He dumps off his sidekick. He goes out in the wilderness. He sleeps under this tree. So if we look at this and we would come from get this from the Bible, these five warning signs that are present in his life, and it's what we can do and look at in our life, is you'll want to recognize these signs, because once we recognize them, then we know how to respond to them. So how do you know you're going along, you've been doing, you've been pumping, you've been pushing, you've been going as fast as you can? How do you know when your well's going dry? How do you recognize those five ways that it's going dry? So we're going to go through these pretty quickly. So you might want to take notes, write these down. So how do you know when your well's going dry? You begin to be fearful. You start to become afraid. Verse 3, what did it say? It said Elijah was afraid. Can I just say, this is a man of God. This is a guy that heard God's voice audibly, speak to him, and now he's afraid. He's worried about it. Fear's creeping into his life. It didn't just happen one day. All these people kept kind of coming up against him. So now fear is creeping into his life. So when fear comes into your life, you may, at that point, you may be, your tank your emotional tank is running on empty. Your faith begins to wander, and fear starts taking over. So number one is you begin to be fearful. Number two is this, you find yourself running away. You're scared. And we do that, and it seems like a natural response, but you're scared, so what do? You run. You see it in marriages. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. You see it in careers. I quit. You see it in spiritual matters. I just can't do it anymore, Lord. And the Bible tells us, this is what's happening in his life. It says he rose and he ran for his life. God is guiding him. God is putting him in places. And God is doing some amazing stuff in his life. But he was afraid and he rose and he ran for his life. So when you're in a setback, when something's going on in your life and you see that stuff happen, and we need to ask ourselves, what are you running from? I mean, we're scared, and that's okay. That's what happens in our life. What are you running from? I mean, ask yourself right now in your life. You know, ask yourself right now, what are you running from right now? Something that you know you probably should be doing, or something that you don't want to face. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's bankruptcy. Maybe it's divorce. But you're afraid. And you're empty. You're emotionally dry. You don't know where to reach anymore. Number three is this. You make foolish decisions quickly. You make foolish decisions quickly. Look what it says, and it says, he went a day's journey into the wilderness. So Elijah's afraid, and you would be if somebody said they're going to kill you. So he's afraid, he's scared, and so he's just running, So he's going to run. He's doing that, but he's running. He's just running into the wilderness. He runs and he drops off his buddy, and then he's just running into the wilderness. He doesn't even know. There's no planning or anything like that. There's no map or anything. He doesn't take any supplies with him or anything. Doesn't even take a water bottle with him. There's no preparing or anything. He's just up and gone. He's in panic mode. That's what he's doing. Like, I got to do something, so I'm going to run. And so we do that. We make quick decisions. I'm leaving this marriage. I'm doing this right now. I'm out of here. And we operate on panic mode. Fourth way to tell when your well is going dry is you begin to lose hope. You begin to lose all hope. It's like, what's the use? I can't save this marriage. I'm not ever going to be able to pay that debt. It's just too late. And that's what Elijah's doing. He says, I've been very jealous for the Lord. In other words, what he's saying, he says, I've been very jealous. He said, I've been committed to the Lord. He said, I've worked very hard for the Lord. I'm doing everything that you're telling me. I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm tithing like you told me to do. I'm doing all of these things, and nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. My prayers aren't getting answered. Nothing, good is happening in my life. And so you lose all hope. It was your only hope that you had, and you lose all hope, and your well is dry. And the last sign, number five, is you begin to isolate and you begin to feel alone. Maybe some of you at home understand what that's about. You say, I'm all alone. No one's going to help me. I cried out for help. Not my friends, not my family. I don't feel like even God's even helping me now. Elijah tells God in verse 10, even I only am left. He's saying, it's all up to me now. I'm the only one. So when we're emotionally in there, we're in this drought that we don't know how to get through. There's nothing to draw from. We tend to beat ourselves up even more in this. And so he asked the Lord. He said, wouldn't it be better if I just died? I can't do this anymore. There's nothing for me to draw from. And he says, it's enough now. He said, just take my life. It's like the statement today would be, just kill me now. I can't do anymore. Just kill me now. You're lonely. You're isolated. You're having feelings of being lost and hopelessness. You may or may not have made some bad decisions in your life. You're running on empty. You don't seem like you can go anymore, and you're full of fear and anxiety. I've got good news. The Bible has good news. So now that you look at your life and you see what's going on and you can recognize these signs, you can respond responsibly. You can respond accordingly. And that's why God gave us that verse in James. Because it says, again, I'm going to read that. It says, Elijah was just like a person like us. He's just like you and I. He's a person that God wants to use, and it's going to be a challenge at times, but he's a person just like you and I. And so God wants you to know, I believe, and God wants Elijah to know, and God wanted everybody around in James's church to know that he understands how you feel. But he wants us to be informed about his word as we read it, as we look in the Bible. We want to be informed, but he also wants us to transform us, to change us is what he's talking about. By reading his word, by looking at his word, by applying his word to our life. So when you feel like your well is running dry and you just kind of, I can't go anymore, and you've been running and running, you've been pumping and pumping, he's there to replenish it. He's there to restore it. And the word of God, it teaches us how we can refill this emotional tank. We can't generate it on our own, but we can get it from him and refill it from him. So if you find yourself today or sometime in the future, if you find yourself looking into that dry well, you're in a setback. It's just like, I don't see how I'm going to have a comeback. I don't see how this is going to happen. I can't see any way of coming back in here. I want you to remember these 3 points here. Write these down, these 3 points. You want to see these. And Elijah's going through all the same thing that himself, all these trials, all these wrong turns. He says, I want to see how God refills his well, how God restores the water in there, how he revives the weary, how he does all of this in our life. Is number one is God gives you rest for your body. I can't get past Psalm 23. I think it's been in every message for the last 3 weeks, but God gives you rest. Psalm 23:2 says, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. We can't manufacture that. We can't push hard enough. We can't dig deep enough to do that. It says he makes us lie down. He puts us beside still waters. He restores my soul. Do you know that some of us aren't smart enough to know when it's time to take a break? That you can't push anymore? That I need a break? We're just not smart enough to say, I got to get the laundry done. I have to do this. I got to finish this up. I got to get the grass mowed. I got to do this. I can't take a day off to be with my family. I have to go to work. You know, I have to do all of these things. I tell you, I learned on our trip to Mexico, and Linda and I, we took a ton of teenagers down there, and I learned that there's a connection between the physical and the mental. And that's a tight connection. And they're real close together, and they go hand in hand. And we worked down there, and we did a lot of things, and we had puppet shows that we put on, and we helped out in churches and everything, and we built foundations for houses, and we did all of this stuff within a couple of week period. And when we come down, we were just physically exhausted, but I didn't realize how close that is to your mentality of how it just drains it also. And sometimes we just don't know when to take the day off. So in chapter 19, verse 4, he says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. I imagine he was exhausted, he was running, and it said, and he asked that he just might die, saying, it's enough. I'm finished, kill me now, put a fork in me, I'm done. He says, now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. He was done. I don't know if he fell asleep or planned on going to sleep, but he was at the point where he's like, I'm done. I'm just going to lean here on this tree. I'm out of here. I'm ready to die. I'm finished. And so the Lord gave him a nap and a visiting angel. It gave him rest. God gives you rest for your body. I thought it's an amazing story that he gave him rest. He said, get up and eat, and then take a rest again. Take a break again. Breathe just a little bit. Rest your body. So it's important that we rest our body. And the second response to an empty well, we need to release the frustrations. You need to get rid of your frustrations. You need to quit holding them in. You need to say how you feel in your life. And not to your spouse. I'm not talking about dumping on your spouse, although you'll probably want to do that. And not to your boss. You probably shouldn't tell your boss what you're thinking. And not to your children. And please, don't put it on Facebook either. Keep it to yourself, you know. But in fact, you know, don't even share it with your best friend. Tell God. Find your closet. Find your quiet place. Go out in your backyard. Go for a drive, whatever it is, and tell God. There's an old saying that is, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Revealing your feelings are the beginning of healings. Tell God how you feel. Look at verse 8. So he took a nap, he laid down, he went to sleep, said, and he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the Mount of God. And this is where he goes and he hides in the cave. And it says, the Lord speaks to Elijah. It says, there he came to the cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So for 40 days, so he took some rest. He did what God had ordered. He had the perfect prescription. He took some rest. He ate some food. So 40 days, he's crossing the desert. He goes to this cave. He's hiding out in this cave. He's still isolating himself. He's still feeling alone. He's still scared. He still doesn't know what to do. And so the next day, he goes in the cave. And the next day, God speaks to him. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing in there? He says, what are you doing? And for the next few verses, I'm not going to read them, but the next few verses, Elijah just unloads on him. He just tells him about all of his frustrations. I've been telling everybody. I've been talking to everybody. They just won't do it. They're building idols. They're tearing down our idols. He said, there's just nothing I can do. He just unloads him, gives him all his complaints, and he just empties himself. He says, what are you doing here? And I'll tell you what I'm doing here. This is what's going on in my life. And I know we've covered this before, but whenever God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. So why do you think he's asking you? He's not looking for an answer. He's not asking. He's not curious about, what are you doing in here? You camping? Or he's not looking for instructions or anything. You know what he's doing? He's offering compassion. He's saying, tell me how you feel. What are you doing here? Tell me what's bothering you. Tell me why you're in this funk. Tell me why you're hiding from the world. When we do that, when we unload on God, when we get our frustrations and just share it with God, it gives you rest for your body, but it's the ability for you to release your frustrations. And then there's this sense when you do that, that there's a sense of a refilling of your soul even then. And then the third point is you refocus your energy. Take your eyes off your problem. You know, you go where you're looking. So take your eyes off your problem. Turn your eyes on him. Turn your eyes. Start looking to Jesus. Experience this fresh awareness of God's power in his life and of God's presence. Listen, God is for you. He wants nothing but goodness for you. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have peace and joy in your life. He wants you to have comfort in your life. He tells you, he's for you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Verse 11, it says, and he said, after speaking to Elijah, and he says, go out and stand at the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. So he's standing at the opening of the cave, and it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out, and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, once again, he asked, what are you doing here, Elijah? Maybe that's what God is saying to us. Maybe that's what God is saying to you today. Why are you still here? I've called you out. Why are you still here? I mean, first there was this wind, and then there's a hurricane and an earthquake and a firestorm and all of that, and finally a small whisper, and he's like, why are you here? I think what he's doing, he's demonstrating, you know, I command the rocks, I command the wind, I command the seas, I command the heavens and everything. He said, surely I can handle your problems. Surely I can handle any of your setbacks. I mean, maybe he's saying, you know, Elijah, like, you're worried about one woman, and I command the whole universe and tell it what to do. I tell the stars where to go. I tell the moon where to be. Why are you here? He knows, but he wants us to ask ourselves, why are we here? Why are we where we at? Why are we worried? Why are we afraid? Why are we running? God says, I'm in control. He is. You know that. But sometimes we have to tell ourselves that. He says, I'm in control. You can relax. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have everything under control. And so when we think of it that way, the setback isn't so scary. It's not so bad. There's like this eternal refreshing when we think, in reality, if we really come and understand it and accept it, God's in control. Whatever challenge goes on, whatever setback you've had, whatever, you know, whatever that it is, you can refill yourself by knowing that God is in control. He sustains you. He keeps your well from running dry. Drink from that. Absorb it. Take from that. And you'll never be thirsty again. I want to share this quick story with you, and then we're going to close in prayer. I wasn't going to share this, but I am. It's from Zig Ziglar, and he talks about the well, and it's the parable of the well. And he talks about when he was a young boy that they'd go around, and they saw wells just like we saw wells when we were young boys, and they'd saw a well, and so they went over there, and they were going to get some cold water out of there, so they went over there, and they had one of the guys was pumping, and he was a pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping and way up that well. And it wasn't coming out. And it's like, yeah, he got so tired, he just gave up. And so the next guy, he's pumping and pumping and pumping. And it's just like, you know, just making a bunch of clickety-clackety noise is all it was doing. And nothing was coming out of there. And so he said, well, this old guy come out and he said, well, you have to prime the well. He said, you have to put something in it. He said, in order to get something out, you need to put something in. I wonder if that's not what's going on in our life. God's all in. Maybe we're not in as much as we should be. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning and we feel sometimes, Lord, that our well is dry, and sometimes, Lord, our well is dry. And we try on our own and we push on our own self to try to fill it, Lord. But I pray for all of us today that are hearing this message, all of us today that understand this message, that they would pray and they would ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. That this would be a day of revival. Maybe not in the country, maybe not in the city, and maybe not even in this church, but in the hearts of us, Lord. That ember would light, that it would start up, that you would fan the flames, that our lives would make that change, that we would have a feeling of peace and drink from the cool water of your well. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless.